Russell Westbrook is now a member of the Houston Rockets. Welcome to the talk. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of The Talk. Once again, I'm your host, Cody Davis. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of this show. First and foremost, guys, I just want to say I apologize for being gone over the past week. If you did not know, which I'm pretty sure most of you guys know, I was in Las Vegas covering the NBA Summer League for the Houston Rockets for the site Dream Shake that I'm a part of. I had a phenomenal time in Vegas. No, I was not out there partying. I was actually out there working, doing interviews, doing post-game, pre-game stuff, and just learning from the guys that I met from the Locked On Network, even the guys from the SB Nation side who I spent majority of my time with. I learned so much over the past couple of weeks, and I cannot wait to put into perspective everything that I've learned. I will be doing a full Summer League recap later in the week. I believe the championship game is today, but ladies and gentlemen, forgive me. I do not know who's going to be playing in that game, but as soon as I find out, I will let you guys know. And like I say, I will be doing a full Summer League recap about my experience, and not only my experience, but just overall what I like, what I didn't like, and what I expect in certain things that I've seen from certain players. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into it, once again, I just want to say you can find The Talk on these different platforms: Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Radio Republic, and of course, YouCanArgueThatSports.com. Once again, that is YouCanArgueThatSports.com. That is a sports website myself and my brother, my friend, my co-host of Locked On Texans, John, some sports guy Hickman, put together for people like myself, people like you, can share your opinions about what's going on in sports. And not only that, but a way for you to stay up to date on all things, all sports, at any time of the day. So once again, that is YouCanArgueThatSports.com. Please follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and of course, subscribe to the site, ladies and gentlemen. Now, with all of that out of the way, boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Before I left, the NBA was waiting on the decision from Kawhi Leonard. The day before I left, Kawhi Leonard decided he is going to sign with the Los Angeles Clippers. About 5 minutes later, news broke that Paul George was traded to the Clippers. I wasn't here to break down my thoughts about that. I think I'm going to save that for later on in the week as well. But ladies and gentlemen, due to the departure of Paul George, Russell Westbrook was on the trading block. Wednesday night, the NBA world was turned upside down yet again when Westbrook was traded to the Houston Rockets. He was traded for 4 first-round draft picks and for Chris Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, this trade was met with a lot of different opinions. You had people who loved it. You had people who hated it. You had people that loved it because, hey, it's Russell Westbrook. It's James Harden. As of right now, the Houston Rockets have not one, but 2 of the top 10 players in the league on the same team. And you also had people who hated it because not only do you have 2 of the top 10 players on the same team, but you have arguably, you have two of the top ball hoggers on the team. Over the last 5 seasons, no player in the NBA has had a higher usage rating than Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Not only that, the Rockets' move to acquire Westbrook was demolished by the people that saying, hey, why would you put a guy in Russell Westbrook who can't shoot in this league? And I must say, I am kind of worried about that situation as well. Throughout his career, Russell Westbrook is shooting 30% from beyond the arc. The last 2 years, he has shot 29%. And unfortunately, for a guy with over 300 attempts from downtown, Russell Westbrook has the lowest rating in NBA history. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to bash the Houston Rockets trade. I love it. I absolutely love what the Houston Rockets did. Not only because Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite players in this league to watch, because the Rockets arguably have the best dynamic duo in the league. First and foremost, when you're talking about the best duos in the league, I do not believe you guys can give me a duo right now that's better than Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And I'm going to exclude Steph Curry and Klay Thompson from this argument because we know what Steph and Klay is going to bring to the table every single night. We've seen it 5 years, and in the midst of those 5 years, they got three championships out of it, and they're arguably one of the best duos of all time. So let's take Klay and Steph out of this situation. But you look at the duos that got created over this past year: Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You telling me that Russell Westbrook and James Harden not going to be in the midst of that conversation? You telling me that James Harden and Russell Westbrook are not going to be better than any of those duos that I just named? First and foremost, the one duo everybody thinks that's going to be the best is LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Now, pause. I do believe Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be a dynamic duo together. They're going to be good together. But I'm not sold on that as if that's going to be enough to give Los Angeles their first championship since the days of Kobe Bryant. And I only say that because LeBron James, he has yet to prove to me that he can ball with a dominant big man. We've seen it with Chris Bosh. We've seen it with Kevin Love. Both of those guys, not only do they take a step back, but they no longer look like all-stars playing with LeBron James. Now, granted, both of those guys was in the big three, Chris Bosh in Miami with D-Wade, Kevin Love in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving. Maybe because there was a part of that big three, somebody had to be that third wheel and have to give up their style of play. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get it twisted. I'm not sitting here saying that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are not going to be a good fit for one another. But I am not convinced that those two guys are going to be the top duo in the league. But let's take a step back for a second. I'm not here to debate if James Harden and Russell Westbrook are going to be the top duo in the league. I'm sitting here to let you guys know that they will make this marriage work. When you talk about Russell Westbrook's fit in Houston, yes, it is questionable. Russell Westbrook is a guy who can't shoot. Russell Westbrook is a guy who needs the ball in his hands in order to succeed. He is willing to take a step back in order to make the sacrifices for the good of the team. I've seen it last year with Paul George in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you guys not know that Paul George finished top three in MVP voting last year? And that was all due to the fact that Russell Westbrook allowed himself to take a step back and let Paul George be the guy. And the same can be said for James Harden. Think about it, guys. Since coming to Houston in 2012, how many teammates has James Harden actually trusted on this team? You can't say Dwight Howard. You damn sure can't say Ty Lawson. And I know him playing with Chris Paul, what seemed like it worked for a certain amount of time, I truly believe that James Harden did not 100% trust Chris Paul, because it was hard for Harden to develop that relationship, to develop that trust, to develop that chemistry with a guy that night in and night out, he didn't know if he was going to be able to play due to injuries. Now you bring in a guy who he has had success with, who he has a relationship with, who he, just like Russell Westbrook, is willing to sacrifice for the good of the team. And yes, I know the last time Russell Westbrook and James Harden played together, they was in OKC. And yes, I know they were at two different stages of their career at the time. But I truly believe, just like we saw with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in Miami, that these two guys are going to find a way to make this marriage work. However, In order for Russell Westbrook to succeed in Houston, the biggest factor in all this, Mike D'Antoni, he needs to change his offense. Because of what a lot of people don't understand, the reason why Russell Westbrook is so ball dominant is because he's limited to the different ways he can score. Russell Westbrook is not a guy who can come off screens and shoot from beyond the arc. Russell Westbrook is not a guy who you could create plays for to score based off his ability to shoot. Russell Westbrook needs the ball in his hands because if you watch Westbrook's game, he can only score efficiently two type of ways, and that's getting to the basket or pulling up from a mid-range basket from 15 feet out. And we all know, and we all have heard it time and time again, that, hey, it's taboo to the Houston Rockets when you take a mid-range jump shot. But once again, Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets system as a whole needs to evolve in order to make this work. Russell Westbrook is one of the most talented players in this league. But Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets system as a whole, they need to evolve and let Russell Westbrook be that mid-range player. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've said it once and I said it again. If the Rockets had a guy, or at least they had a system that allowed mid-range jump shot, I guarantee you they would have beaten the Golden State Warriors 2 years ago. And I kind of wish they let Chris Paul be more of a mid-range jump shooter than forcing him to become a three-point shooter. Now, don't get me wrong. He was a pretty good three-pointer. He was a pretty good three-point shooter in Houston. But ladies and gentlemen, Chris Paul's mid-range game has always been his bread and butter. They screwed that up with Chris Paul. They cannot afford to screw that up with Russell Westbrook. Once again, Russell Westbrook is by far one of the worst three-point shooters in NBA history. For a player who has shot over 300 three-pointer attempts during a season, Russell Westbrook ranks dead last at 29%. But ladies and gentlemen, in addition to allowing Westbrook to score from the mid-range, Mike D'Antoni needs, and I do believe we will see this, James Harden playing off the ball a lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that if James Harden is able to play off the ball a lot more, we will see his ability to score the basketball take another step. And I say that only because when you look at the numbers, James Harden playing off the ball is just as dangerous as James Harden on the ball. I'm looking at his stats right now. On catch and shoot 3-point attempts, he's shooting 41% from behind the arc. Versus when he's on the ball, pulling up from deep, he's shooting 36%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see a more efficient scoring from James Harden playing next to Russell Westbrook. And I guarantee you, like I said earlier, he's going to be more willing to give up on the ball. And not only that, maybe this partnership, and this goes on both Russell Westbrook and James Harden, maybe we're going to see them extend their prime, extend their career a lot longer. Because yes, the last 5 years, these two guys have ranked 1 and 2 of the highest usage rating in NBA history. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about how would this work. Russell Westbrook is this, James Harden is this. But ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that they are going to take the necessary actions to make this marriage work. And it starts at the top with Mike D'Antoni changing his offense, encouraging Russell Westbrook to shoot and score from the mid-range, and taking James Harden off the ball. Because I've always said this, I want to see James Harden play as a primary shooting guard versus being the primary scorer and being a primary playmaker at the same time. That's why he looked so burnt out by the playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, mark my words, this duo is going to be pretty dangerous this upcoming season. Coming up on the other side of the break, I want to talk about the other guy involved in this trade, and that guy is Chris Paul. Unfortunately, at 34 years old, it's not looking too good for CP. But there is one team I would like to see take a chance on Chris Paul. I will let you know who that team is and all that and more on the other side of the break.
What is We Creatives? Better yet, who are we? And what exactly do we do? Well, we do a lot. Of course, we create stunning graphic designs. But We Creatives also laugh. We Creatives smile. We run. We eat. We love and dream. We are just like you in every way. And when it comes to designing, our company really, really gets you. We create at We Creatives.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Talk. Once again, I'm your host, Cody Davis. Shortly after the Houston Rockets traded for Russell Westbrook, they actually made two other roster moves to their team. They signed Tyson Chandler to a one-year deal, and they also decided to sign Anthony Bennett to a one-year non-guaranteed deal and an invitation to their training camp in September. I know the Anthony Bennett signing was mocked a lot on social media. A lot of people saying, what in the hell are the Rockets doing? They went from making one of the best trades in franchise history to one of the most useless deals of the offseason. Ladies and gentlemen, I kind of believe that the Anthony Bennett signing might be a pretty good deal for the Rockets. I know this is a guy who has struggled to find his place in the NBA. And I know he will forever go down as one of the biggest busts and arguably the worst number one pick in NBA history. Over the last few years, Anthony Bennett has improved and developed his game. And he has turned himself into a pretty decent three-point shooter. This is a guy who shot a career average 44% from behind the arc. So he gives the Rockets something that they haven't had since the days of Ryan Anderson. And that is a big who can shoot from behind the arc. And what I like most about the Bennett signing is if he's able to make this team, do you know how much more dangerous the Houston Rockets pick and roll action will be between James Harden and Russell Westbrook? We all know how much both of those guys thrive when you put them with a big who can screen and roll straight to the basket. That's going to be Capella. That's going to be Tyson Chandler. But ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, especially in Russell Westbrook's career, you're going to have a guy that you can do a screen and pop with. Anthony Bennett setting a pick for Russell Westbrook or Harden, and instead of screening to the basket, he can fade out to the three-point line. That's going to be really, really dangerous. So, Anthony Bennett, if you're out there listening, please follow me on Twitter. Not only that, look at the nice article how I wrote on what you can do in order to be a great player with the Houston Rockets. And I would love to have you on the show, man. So, please, if you run across this some weird, odd way, let me know. I would love to have you on the show, man. But moving on to my next topic of the show, I want to talk about what's next for Chris Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, even though I am happy about the trade that the Rockets got Russell Westbrook, ladies and gentlemen, although I'm happy, I'm ecstatic that the Rockets were able to acquire Westbrook, I am sad to see that this is basically the beginning of the end for Chris Paul. First and foremost, you take a look at Chris Paul. This is a guy who has had so many unfortunate circumstances throughout his career. When he got drafted to the New Orleans Hornets, he was forced to play his first 2 years in OKC. How ironic. Due to the damage and the destruction that Hurricane Katrina caused. Although he will go on and put together a nice run in New Orleans, every single year, one by one, each and every one of his players were kicked off the team. Tyson Chandler got moved. David West got moved. Peja Storyakovich got moved. He tried to go and be a part of a super team and join forces with Kobe Bryant in Los Angeles. But because of the fact the New Orleans Hornets at the time did not have an owner, the NBA decided to veto the trade. About a week later, he arguably got into the best situation of his career, joining forces with Blake Griffin, with DeAndre Jordan, as the Los Angeles Clippers took over Los Angeles and became Lob City. But unfortunately, mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake in the playoffs, that team became a big disappointment. You remember when he was up 3-1, finally being able to go to the Western Conference Finals with a date to face off with the Baby Warriors, who I believe at the time that Clippers team probably could have won. But the Houston Rockets stole one of his best chances of winning the championship away from him by coming back from 3-1 down and eliminating him in the second round of the playoffs. Not only did mistakes in the playoffs happen, but injuries happened. You take a look at the last 2 years of him wearing a Clippers uniform. Every single year, either him or Blake Griffin got hurt in the playoffs, which allowed a first-round exit for the Clippers. Finally, he goes and joins forces with one of the best, if not the best player in the league, in James Harden. Him and the Houston Rockets had a phenomenal 65-win season. They go up 3-2 on the Golden State Warriors. Late in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul tears his hamstring. He's unable to play Game 6, unable to play Game 7. And arguably watch as his best chance of winning a NBA championship slips through his fingers as the Rockets were unable to beat the Warriors without him. He was the one who gave the Rockets the title, Run It Back. But unfortunately, injuries kept him from running it back. Now he's stuck in a situation where he's going to an organization, going to a franchise, who's not only rebuilding, but a team in the organization who might not even want him. As soon as the trade went down, ESPN Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Chris Paul and his agent immediately began working with Sam Presti, the general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder, to see about sending him to another team. But unfortunately, due to injuries and being owed $125 million over the next three seasons, there's no market for Chris Paul. The only team that has expressed some kind of interest in CP3 over the last 24 to 48 hours has been the Miami Heat. And according to a Heat beat writer in Florida, the Heat are not too sure they want to take on Chris Paul's massive contract. So now Chris Paul is in a situation where if he wants to continue his career, we're basically going to watch one of the greatest point guards in NBA history finish out his career on a team that's going to be tanking. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just a sad situation to watch Chris Paul go down like this. But I do not think all is lost yet. Despite the fact that he's 34 years old, despite the fact that he's owed millions, despite the fact he's injury prone at this stage of his career, Chris Paul can still play a solid role on a championship contending team. The one team I truly believe that should give Chris Paul a chance are the Milwaukee Bucks. Because at this stage in his career, where he can be the number one primary ball handler, only playmaker on the team, and after averaging 8.5 assists last year with the Houston Rockets, playing next to a guy who's so ball dominant in James Harden, Chris Paul can still average double digit figures in assists. He can still be a good playmaker, and his IQ has always been one of the best in the league. Chris Paul needs to be in a situation where he's not the first, not the second, but possibly third, in some cases, fourth scoring option on a team. And that's why I truly believe the Milwaukee Bucks is the best situation for Paul. Because one, the Bucks coming into next season, they have a chance to win a championship, which means Paul will still be playing for a champ for his first championship. Because coming into the season, the Milwaukee Bucks are by far the best team in the Eastern Conference. And not only that, they are one of the five teams who actually have a real chance of winning the championship next year. Milwaukee is in need of a playmaker. Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo has done a solid job carrying the ball up and down the court, but that's not his strong suit. Milwaukee needs a point guard. Not only that, Chris Paul would make a perfect third or fourth scoring option on that team. When I was watching the Milwaukee Bucks this past year in the playoffs, I was looking at the Bucks like, man, all they need is a true, reliable point guard to help carry that team. And I truly believe that if they added Chris Paul to that lineup with Giannis, with Chris Middleton, with Eric Bledsoe, a perimeter defense between him and George Hill, the Milwaukee Bucks can arguably have the best team in the league. But I know, even though Milwaukee actually has the money to pay for Chris Paul's contract, I'm still not too sure if they want to take on that contract. That's what makes this whole situation sad. Because you have a guy who finally is being paid as the superstar as he once was, but it's kind of too late because it's affecting his career now. Milwaukee Bucks are the best fit for Chris Paul right now. I know I've seen a lot of people saying that he can go to the Los Angeles Lakers. But ladies and gentlemen, they do not have money to pay for Chris Paul's contract. Not only that, they don't even have the assets to trade for him. There's only one way Chris Paul can make it to Los Angeles and play with his friend LeBron James. That's if he was to take a buyout from the Oklahoma City Thunders. And ladies and gentlemen, that would be the biggest buyout in NBA history. Even if they stretch it over the next couple of years, you're looking at a situation where the Thunder will still be paying Chris Paul at least $15 million a year in order to stretch that over the next 7 years. And not only that, the Lakers have a guy by the name of Rajon Rondo. I'm pretty sure the Lakers do not want a locker room that has Rondo and Chris Paul sharing the same backcourt. And you can't say, well, why don't the Lakers just trade Rondo because Chris Paul is better? Oh, well, yeah, he is better. But ladies and gentlemen, the Lakers cannot trade Rajon Rondo until December 15th. So that kind of puts Chris Paul back in the same situation that he don't want to be in. And that's starting the season with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So once again, that's why I say the Milwaukee Bucks are the best situation for Chris Paul. Another team I think should take a look at Chris Paul are the Philadelphia 76ers. But the only problem with that is Ben Simmons still can't shoot. So you're gonna run Ben Simmons at the point and have Chris Paul play the two? I don't think so. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, when you take out the injuries, when you take out the contract, Chris Paul can still be a reliable option on a championship contending team. I do not want to see teams not give this guy a chance because of those two baggage. Yes, they are big baggages. But think about it. If you're a team like the Bucks, you can preserve Chris Paul, save him, give him load management. You can do all these different things in order to make sure he's fresh and healthy and ready for the playoffs. Because that was the one thing the Bucks were missing. Was an elite point guard who could help run the show in Milwaukee. That's where I want to see Chris Paul continue his career. And if he don't continue his career in Milwaukee, I want to see a championship contending team give this guy a chance. Because yes, even at 34 years old, Chris Paul is still too good for this. Maybe he can go to the Spurs. The Spurs always need somebody. I'm pretty sure him, DeMar DeRozan, and LaMarcus Aldridge will make a pretty good big three. But to be honest, I'm not sure if San Antonio has the money to pay for Chris Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I personally don't know what's next for CP. The only thing I can hope for is that some team gives him a chance. He is still too good to be thrown away like garbage. He can still help a team. He can still be a player who can help lead a team to a championship. I hate to see this for Chris Paul. And I hope someone give him a chance. Once again, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of The Talk. Once again, you can find The Talk on 6 different platforms: Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Radio Republic, and of course, YouCanArgueThatSports.com. Once again, that's YouCanArgueThatSports.com. Once again, I'm your host, Cody Davis. Please follow me on Twitter at Cody, CotyDavis_24. Yes, the 24 stands for Kobe Bryant. Why? Because he's the GOAT. Once again, I'm your host, Cody Davis. Take care. Peace.